to turn with me tonight to the letter of Paul to the Philippians and to chapter 3, and our text is taken from verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I confess, this is a verse that I've preached on before, a verse that I seem to come back to again and again. It's one of those gospels in miniature. It mentions the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It mentions how we can be one of his children by knowing him. It's the whole gospel in a verse. And so very naturally, we like to come back to verses like this. It speaks of Christ, that I may know him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of a supernatural and special power, something that the world knows nothing about. We'll say something more about that. It speaks of victory, Christ dying and rising again, defeating death and sin and Satan, as we love to think of on this Easter day. It speaks of being shaped, molded. Literally, it means to be put into the mold, conformable. Imagine your life like a piece of putty. Who are you going to be shaped and molded by? Romans 12 and verse 1 says that our lives are going to be shaped. And the desire of Paul in that verse is that we would be shaped by Christ. And he says something similar here. Being made conformable, formed and shaped. What by? The whole of our life being shaped by the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? Is Christ's death and his rising from the dead, is that the mold that you're being shaped, conformed into? Is that the dominating truth in your life? Because if it's not, you and I will be shaped by this world. The world wants to get hold of us. It wants to shape our putty into the things of this world. But Paul says he wants to be conformed, transformed, turned and shaped and made into a different pattern altogether. And it speaks of something else. It speaks of knowing Christ. Do you know Christ? Not just his name, not just what he's done, but a living, intimate, personal knowledge, like a husband knows the wife, like a wife knows a husband, like a boy and a girl that have a friendship. Do you know Christ? Do you walk with him and talk with him? Are you in living fellowship? The word used in this verse, the Greek word, is koinonia. Perhaps you know that word. It's a name used for care homes sometimes. A fellowship of elderly people living together, sharing the latter years in their life. What a lovely term. Living fellowship. Do you know that? Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection shapes and forms your life? Koinonia, fellowship. Well, the Apostle Paul, he often spoke of the gospel. He could not help himself. He said, woe is me If I preach not the gospel, we like to explain the gospel, and it's here again in this verse. He said he was determined not to know anything else except amongst his hearers Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what we shall explain again tonight. But what does Paul mean by the power of his resurrection? That's the phrase I want us to put the spotlight on tonight, that I may know Christ and that I may know the power of his resurrection. We sometimes speak of the power of music. Music can be a very powerful thing. It stirs the emotions. Never think music is neutral. You listen to a piece of classical music, very often you can quickly find that your heart has been lifted. You feel more joyful. Or maybe the opposite. It's a somber, solemn piece, and your mood has been changed. That's the power of music. Be careful. Music can be very powerful as a medium. It's important, the kind of music that we use when we worship the living God, that it's appropriate, the power of music. Music is evocative. It's emotional. The power of music. We speak about the power of the sun that can burn and destroy, but it can also warm, and it can soothe, and it can melt. This is a picture used of Christ, Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, God's glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The power of music and the power of the sun. We speak of the power of the human voice. The human voice can manipulate. You listen to the voice of certain leaders in the past, how they've spoken to a crowd of 30, 40,000 people, and they've been able to manipulate and control the hearers with their propaganda. The power of the human voice. Of course, there's no more voice, no more powerful voice than God's voice. Psalm 29 verse 4 says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." So three illustrations about the power of music, the power of the sun, the power of the human voice. But what about the power of the resurrection? Surely this is just an event. It's just a date in history, if you believe it, which we surely do. The power of the resurrection. Well, perhaps a contemporary illustration. Sure, you've been moved and affected as you've thought in recent weeks about the conflict in the Ukraine. The power of war. It's not just a date. I don't know how long this awful, atrocious war will go on. Months. We're in the second month. It's not just a date. This is something that moves our hearts and our minds. If you're like me, there's not an hour of the day you don't think of what's going on and the lives, 7 million people, homeless, abandoning everything they have. Doesn't that move you? The power of the war. And in a similar way, that's what Paul is speaking about here. The power. The pervasive power of the resurrection. The word that he uses here for power is a word we have in English, dynamo. You used to have them on a bike. When there wasn't a battery, as the wheels went round, there was a dynamo on the bicycle tire. And when you were moving, the lights would be on. It wasn't much good at the lights. In the dark, if you were stationary, the light on the front that was powered by the dynamo would stop. The dynamo of the resurrection. This is speaking about something supernatural. This world doesn't believe in the supernatural. Oh, it believes in things that are dark and spirits and awful things like Ouija boards and things that are satanic. But what about the supernatural things that we read about in the Word of God? We live in a rationalistic age. Everything has to have a formula. It has to have a scientific explanation, an algorithm, an equation. And there's no space and no thought for the supernatural. What Paul is speaking about here is supernatural. A resurrection. It defies all logic. A dead body would normally decompose. The dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ would have been subject to the same natural forces that we will be subject to one day. Except he couldn't see corruption. Just think of the things in the Bible. Let's limit ourselves to that. Supernatural things. How could 3 million people for 40 years, 365 days a year, be fed in a desert? You can't compute it. How on earth could that happen? And yet, we read it in the Word of God. There's whole chapters and books devoted to the way the Lord fed the children of Israel for 40 years. That's not natural. That's supernatural. Just think of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's dozens, hundreds. How can you explain these things? And yet they were witnessed by so many. The historians, they record them. The Bible records them. Think of the signs and wonders. How could they pick up snakes and they weren't bitten? How could they heal lepers with just a word? These things are supernatural. There is supernatural events in the world today, in individuals' lives. You can't explain how a man or woman that hates God or denies God, an atheist, suddenly comes to say, there is a God in heaven. The way I used to live, by God's grace, I will not live that way anymore. And God and his grace and his mercy have come into my life. How can you explain those things? The gift of life. You see a child. You see the pictures of an unborn child at 22 weeks with every faculty, even the hairs on their head are formed. You tell me that's natural only. That's divine. That's supernatural. Oh yes, we believe in the supernatural. We believe, the Bible teaches, that God who made the world, when he wants to suspend natural forces, the algorithmic, rationalistic approach to life, when he sees fit, the River Jordan can stand up in heaps. The sun can stand still, and there can be darkness over Calvary for 3 hours. These things are supernatural. And we believe in the power of God and in the supernatural. So let's just think in the time that we have, the power of the resurrection. Let's just say a few things, really just a couple of comments on each point. Jesus had to defeat Satan. That's why he rose again from the dead. Just imagine if there had never been a resurrection. What would Christianity be? Just morality. Just a story. A fable. We'd have no hope. We'd have no confidence. There would be no power at all. Christ had to defeat Satan. That's the power of the resurrection. He had to rise again to fulfill dozens of prophecies in the Old Testament. If Christ is not risen from the dead, he would have lied. The picture of Joseph coming out of the pit when his brothers had thrown him in as good as dead wouldn't mean anything. Jesus had to rise from the dead because he himself had announced it on the third day. The Son of God will rise again. Hundreds of people, at least 700, maybe more, witness personally the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him. They heard him speak. They wrote down. They told thousands upon thousands of others. It spread throughout Palestine. And as the Jews spread further through Asia, they told others, we've seen the risen Christ. Just think of the Apostle Paul, a murderer, a zealot, one who we've read in this passage thought he was righteous, persecuting all the people he could. Paul believed in the resurrection. Paul had an experience of seeing the risen Christ. Oh, how can we explain the resurrection? Do you know the resurrection makes Christianity different from every single other religion? Every other religion is dead. Every other religion worships a dead god or hundreds of dead gods, idols made with hands, dead, dead, dead. Intelligent people worshipping a dead god, a god that can't hear, can't speak, can't see. But we worship the living Christ. We worship the one who hears, who knows, and that we can have a relationship with. As Paul says in this verse, Christ had to rise from the dead, Paul tells us in Romans 4:25, so that we are justified, so that we're made as though we never sinned, because that's pictured in our old life dying and our new life in Christ. Perhaps you might like to turn to it. Romans 15, a great verse which speaks of the resurrection. Romans chapter 15 and verse 20. Romans 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the firstfruits of them that slept in him. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I think I may have given you the wrong reference. But just as Adam died in his sin, he died at the end of his life because he was a sinner. So Christ died, not because of sin, but because of our sin. And so in Christ shall all be made alive. Well, let me give you another reason and purpose for the power of the resurrection. Every Christian here tonight, don't we need assurance throughout every day of our Christian life that the gospel that we believe is true? And when we think of the resurrection, we think of the fact that Christ defeated every natural force, and supernaturally, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit combined, and Christ was risen from the dead. Doesn't it assure your faith? Doesn't it give you confidence in your life? Doesn't it give you the power that if Christ is risen from the dead, then every battle, every enemy that you face and I face, if we come to it by faith, God will overcome in our life. Oh, but another reason. The resurrection is the supreme demonstration of the omnipotence of the Godhead. If Christ is risen from the dead, then God, we can know, we can be confident, is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. If he could defeat Satan, if he could defeat sin, if he could defeat the Roman rulers and the Jewish authorities, he could die and then rise again. Then we know that God is omnipotent. Let me give you another reason. How can you explain how the church in that first century AD, led by fishermen, people that had never been to university, people who were uneducated, they'd never been to school, and yet they became bold, powerful leaders, speaking to emperors, to kings, speaking so powerfully with such conviction. How could hundreds, thousands of churches be planted in 10, 20, 30 years and the world be turned upside down, as it tells us? You can't explain it. If Christ was not risen from the dead, there would be no church, no power, no preachers. Thousands would not have been added to the church in one day. Oh no, it's the only thing that explains the church of Jesus Christ. Let me give you another reason. The resurrection inspires faith. If you struggle with faith, if you struggle to believe, how can I believe in the Christ that I cannot see? And we read in the pages of the Bible of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ rose from the dead, I can believe in Christ. I can believe that he can change my life. I can believe that the life I've lived is dead, and the life I live in Christ is to come. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 has another reason. It says the resurrection enables every believer to seek those things which are above. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Because Christ, the perfect sinless Savior, he died having borne our sin, and he rises with a new body, a spiritual body, no longer in the corrupt form of a human body. Not that he was corrupt, but he lived that life under the limitations that we have, and now no longer does he have those limitations. And just like that, we rise in Christ. And we can seek the things which are above, and we can seek things which are pure and spotless, and we can be sanctified. Just two more reasons. The resurrection and belief in the resurrection. It gives us a bulletproof confidence that one day all who die in Christ will rise with Christ. And that we will have that glory that will never end. And that we shall see him. Do you know, men and women, we yearn for immortality. That's why we fear death, because we know that death is not the end, and therefore we desire to live forever. And the resurrection of Christ gives us the confidence, the confident hope of glory. But finally, the resurrection removes the fear of death. Do you fear death? Do you fear not knowing how you'll die, when you'll die, whether you die in pain, whether you die without loved ones? The resurrection says we will rise in Christ and we will have everything. It will be beyond and above every expectation that we possibly could have. Do you know what Paul said here in verse 10? That I may know him, Christ Jesus, and the power of his transforming, life-giving, sanctifying resurrection, and the koinonia fellowship of his sufferings, thinking every day of the death of Christ, being made and shaped and conformed unto his death, if by any means, the means of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know, all those that die in Christ will rise in Christ. That's what Paul's talking about. He's saying that if I have known Christ in life, if I've known him as my Savior and my Lord, I've repented of sin, if he shed his blood and washed me clean, then I will be shaped by that death and by that resurrection. And one day, when I've died and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, then I will attain unto the resurrection of the dead, because all who are dead in Christ will rise with Christ, with him forever. Is that what Paul means? The power of the resurrection. Do you know that power? That power over sin. That power over death. That power that comes through knowing him. Let's pray together. Our gracious, eternal God, we pray that we would know something tonight of that eternal, everlasting, omnipotent power which is found in Jesus Christ. We pray that as we know that power tonight, we would know eternal life in Christ. We would know sins forgiven and that transforming, conforming power of knowing him. Oh, bless us and help us now.